Welcome back to the Team Flower Podcast. It's Kelly here, your host. If you happen to be new with us, this is where we talk about flowers with people who've dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We have guests from all over the world that we just have the privilege of learning and chatting with all together. We host the podcast because we believe that working with flowers is important, and we want to take some time to all be together, to have a centralized place where you can know that there are, it's not just you, you know, in your studio working on your flower arrangement right now, or taking a walk, or taking a drive. Like, there are thousands of people with you all listening together. And we just want to say a big go team to all of our listeners out there. Today, our special guest is Susie. She has been in the floral industry for 40 years. And throughout her career, Susie Kosick has dedicated her time and her enthusiasm to being a retail shop owner, a floral design instructor, a business consultant, event coordinator, program presenter, and a freelance design consultant. And currently, she's part of the innovative team at Smithers Oasis North America, where her responsibilities take her around the country, meeting with and educating florists in all segments of the industry on the benefits of the and creativity that the Smithers Oasis brand offers. And in this episode, you're going to hear how the floral industry has changed, morphed, and grown over the last 40 years. From Susie's perspective, she tells us what it was like before the internet and social media were a part of the operations of a flower business, and when networking within the industry was really community focused. And we've come such a long way away from that, but now we're swinging back towards it again. It's just a really interesting, compelling story, and something that I think that is really important that we all just tune into, because we all have our individual lives with flowers, but we are a part of a big community that I believe will become known across the entire earth as some of the kindest people on earth. I believe that the floral industry will be known as one of the very kindest, and that is something that will spill into other industries throughout the earth. So today we're talking about how we can love and influence the industry. Susie is also giving us a little sneak peek into the heart of Smithers Oasis in their drive to innovation and sustainability. It's really exciting, and I'm so encouraged by everything that we're chatting about today. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, and we're an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events like a conference, an annual conference, and we've got free weekly resources, a big library designed to support you and your journey with flowers. So whether you're professional or you just love flowers, know that there is room at the table for you here at Team Flower. We all share the common goal of loving the world through flowers. And if you'd like to hop over to that library of additional resources and learn a little bit more, you can find that at teamflower.org and on Instagram. Susie, welcome to the podcast. It is great to have you here today.
Well, it's really great to be here. I really appreciate the invitation.
So you celebrated your 40th year in the floral industry at the Team Flower Conference, like that day. Like, you and I went and we had lunch and you were like, yeah, I've been in the floral industry. Like, it's my birthday today, like 40th year today. And it was your birthday. It was both of those things, your actual birthday and your birthday of being in the floral industry. And I came back and I told Janine, I was like, bring out the banners. We need a really big banner because that is so incredible. I love having all kinds of guests on the podcast, but I especially, I feel like in my world right now, my circle of people that I know that have been in it for such a long time and hold that really special place in our industry, I don't know. A lot of times I'll work with somebody who's maybe coming into like a second career in flowers or something like that. But to be able to have that much experience, I'm just, oh, that's so, so exciting. So walk us through what that's looked like for you and just what you've seen maybe kind of change and develop a little bit over the years in your work with flowers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know 40 years, I kind of can't believe it myself. It's, you know, some days it went really long and other days it went really fast, but it's really remarkable to have been in one industry. I mean, that's
exactly
kind of unheard of.
Exactly. It is.
Yeah,
yes.
It's unheard of these days. You know, people take different paths, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of sidestepped a little bit along the way. Oddly enough, I worked very briefly as an AT&T operator back in the day. I mean, how funny was that? And
great.
I also spent a little bit of time as a travel agent. So, you know, I kind of left the industry very honestly. Both times were less than probably 90 days. That's how that's how I knew that flowers in some way, shape, or form were always going to be part of who I was and what I wanted to do with my career. I just, it was in my blood, I guess. It truly was. We hear that all the time when we attend conferences. People say, it's in my blood. It's just part of who I am.
Yeah.
Well, it really is. And 40 years proves that it's totally who I am. It's in my DNA. And it's just been amazing. I mean, starting out, when I can remember when I very first started out, even though like certain things like bouquet holders and foam were not new at the time, they were still in transition because honestly, the floral industry is kind of a slow moving industry. It doesn't take on to trends really quickly. They take years and years. And I think because we take so long to hone our skills. And, you know, a great example is I can remember starting out in the industry where every bridal bouquet we made was all hand wired and taped.
Yes.
There was no getting away.
That is so intense.
Yeah. I mean, we did large flowing cascade, you know, bridal bouquets. That was the style back in the 70s and 80s when I started. And everything, all the stuff I noticed and the gardenias and the roses and the orchid, everything was hand wired and taped. And it wasn't until I was probably a good 10 years into the industry that we really started using the bouquet holders, the foam bouquet holders that were available because we didn't want to. This is how we learned it. This is how we did it. This is how we felt comfortable creating our designs. And that's really is true today. We get into this, I don't want to say rut because it isn't a rut, but we get into this creative pattern. It's almost like muscle memory. And this is how we like to do things. And we know we could create beautiful things doing this one particular method. And we stick to it. And what's kind of interesting is the floral industry is really an innovative, creative industry, right? So you would think we would be open to new ways of doing things, but we really are. And I think that's one of our biggest stumbling blocks is sometimes we get too strong held into one area and then don't branch out and explore our own creativity and allow ourselves to experiment and allow ourselves to look at different methods in different ways. And I've seen a lot of that over 40 years, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. What was the education scene like whenever you first got started in terms of where you were learning your mechanics and what kind of opportunities were available? Because, you know, perhaps that's one of the reasons why it was slow to shift and change. Maybe there just wasn't a whole lot of different things going on. I don't know.
You're absolutely right. You know, you think about it, back in the 70s and 80s, there was no such thing as the World Wide Web. And there was no such thing as social media. And so we had to literally find education programs. And back in those days, FTD was a really big proponent. They were probably one of the leaders education within their districts and their regions, as well as the American Floral Services, AFS, which is now gone away. It was acquired by Teleflora. They were another large educator, and Teleflora also had a lot of education programs. So we relied a lot on the wire services for our education, and we relied on trade publications for our education. Also back in those earlier days, there was a lot of what was called allied floral groups, in addition to state organizations. You know, for example, Texas has a really large floral association. So does Michigan, very strong. And they had annual conferences, and then they would have regional meetings. And these allied groups would do the same things. The allied groups were smaller, more community-driven groups specified to a certain area, like Houston still has their Houston Allied Florist Group. And they would meet annually, sometimes on a monthly basis. Florists from that local community would come together in the spirit of, you know, trying to overcome the obstacles and moving their industry forward. And just they would troubleshoot with each other. They would help each other out. They would, you know, maybe co-work on certain projects, or they would join forces for holidays for delivery. So it was really more grassroots based, our education and where we got it. But wire services, trade publications, and your state and allied organizations really were the only source for education at that time.
That's really interesting, this Allied Floral Groups piece that you've brought up. Let's circle back to that for a second. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like that kind of shifted somewhere along the line? Or do you feel like there's always kind of been a little bit of that, we're banding together in our local community? Because I hear so many people now in the last several years that really want that, but maybe feel like they don't have that. Is that something that's maybe just isolated to me? Or do you see that kind of more? Like, where's that kind of cutthroat attitude coming in? Like, why is that happening? Why is that happening? And where did that shift?
You know, that's a great question. And I don't know if I have a real answer for that. I have my observations that I could share. I do know that there was a period of time when florists in general, they thrived, they flourished, and every local business had its neighborhood, it had its growth, there was potential, and they were doing very, very well. And then as times changed in the later 70s, the economy started to change. Uh-huh. We had different impacts due to, you know, like gas shortages and energy crisis and all those kind of things that you don't really think about had an impact on the industry. And those types of things started to make it harder to be a small business. You know, that's when the starting of the big box stores started happening, was in the early 70s. And along with that came the demise of the local small business. And when that happened, competition became even harder. So one, you didn't have the time to go to these meetings every week because you were really delving into your business, trying to keep it afloat. And two, your competition, you kind of were a little bit less, you know, like wanting to share that information because the true meaning of competition was there. Instead of healthy competition, it became real competition. So I think that had a little bit to do with it. And that's also when you started to see a little bit of the change in how we started doing our businesses, was in those late 70s and 80s and definitely into the late 90s is when you really saw a huge change in, you know, local wholesalers starting to feel the impact of the change of the industry. But when you had all these little pods of healthy growth and healthy businesses, it was easier to come together. And then when that started to, you know, have other impacts that were influencing it, and when we started to see the impacts of how that was on small business, I think the focus changed. And quite honestly, it just became real difficult. You see that in the activities within even the state organizations. You know, there used to be numbers, they used to have memberships in over 1,000, a lot of these state organizations did. Now, you know, because one, businesses have disappeared, or two, people have reallocated their extra money and they're not putting it into paying for memberships to be part of groups. They're putting it back into their businesses. These state organizations that once had over 1,000 members now are struggling to keep 300, 400, 500 members. So there's a lot of different influences that just changed the dynamic. And then therefore, the smaller allied groups kind of dissolved first because they were the ones with the least budget and the least amount of money to support themselves. So they went away. And then once that dissolved, you didn't feel like you could just call your neighbor flower shop and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, you know, unless you really had a good personal relationship with them. You just didn't feel like you could do that. And so it just kind of, I hate to say organically dissolved itself, but that's just the way of the world and the way businesses were run, just kind of all added to the demise of these smaller groups. And thankfully now to social media and to a whole new flood of people coming into this industry. They're coming in differently, granted, but they're still coming into the floral industry. We're seeing a need for that to happen again and a desire for that to happen again. And people who are not afraid to build communities like that. So I think we're going to see a change in some of these smaller groups reforming. And quite honestly, it's something like what you're doing here with Team Flower. You're bringing a community, even though it's more global, you're bringing people together in a safe place where they can exchange ideas, exchange concerns, and they can and help each other with their struggles. Mm-hmm. So I think you're kind of like the new allied florist, really.
That's cool. That's really awesome. It's fun to be a part of the floral industry. And I have such a passion to see it grow and not like just return to its former glory, but to really go to a place that we've never even gone before as an industry, yeah. where we are just going into places, serving people that have never even been served before, taking our work to new places, new people, the whole thing. I think that there's so much potential out there, and there is always, I guess I always think there's always a workaround somewhere. Like, yes, you have, absolutely. there's always a workaround, and there's always limiting factors, but there's so many different ways that you can have a business model and sort of grow and shift and adapt. And there's no doubt that sometimes it can be really difficult. But yes, whenever we can stay creative, not just in our designs with flowers, but also in the way that we do business, I just think that the potential's totally loaded for us to be able to really make a huge lasting impact in the world at large.
This podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Advanced Wiring Techniques online class. This is a fast track class that will allow you to pick up advanced wiring skills in an afternoon, allowing you to go beyond the natural boundaries of a bloom. Wiring is an essential skill in the toolbox of the modern florist. With this class, you'll grow in new technical proficiency as you explore different wiring methods that can easily be used in everything from bouquets, boutonnieres, flower crowns, combs, all kinds of different accents, and more. In 9 videos, you'll learn how to choose the best bloom types for successful wiring. You'll master the techniques and get a step-by-step visual walkthrough of how to adapt basic wiring techniques to all kinds of floral items. I, Kelly, will demonstrate how to use a wide variety of wired items in design work, and I'll also walk you through the care and keeping of wired flowers before and after use. In addition to videos, you'll receive lesson notes, summary for wiring tips shared, and a step-by-step written guide for each technique and more. Ready to up your wiring game? You can find it all at teamflower.org/online.
What kind of dreams do you have for the floral industry? If you could 100 years from now speak into what it looks like what would be your dream for this industry that you love so much? What would it look like and how would it work?
That's a big question. It's really about getting more flowers into more people's hands, yeah. more often, and helping people understand the healing effect and the calming effect and just the effect flowers really and plants have on people's lives and the respect that you have for these beautiful blossoms and how amazing it is when you think about it, how they're grown and then how they're harvested and then how they're shipped and sent to us and then how we create them. I just would hope that we move our culture into a place where people understand, respect, and really embrace the importance of flowers from mm-hmm. the very beginning, from the growing all the way to the receiving and the healing, calming, wonderful effects they have on people's lives. I just would love to see more flowers in more people's hands more often.
Yeah. And I mean, wouldn't it be so cool? People who have never received flowers before, Janine that works on our team, she's like really passionate about getting flowers to people who've never had an opportunity to receive them before. I think that if you've grown up around flowers and you've seen it, you've experienced the magic of flowers and all of those things like you just talked about, the healing and the peace and all those things that flowers carry to us. But some people have never even held a cut flower in their hand. It seems crazy to me to believe.
Yeah.
But there are people who have never thought, oh, I could pick that and hold it, or even that I could stop and look at it for a second. There are so many people that have never had that initial touch or initial experience with flowers. And that's something that that getting flowers into the hands of more people piece. We are all, that's what Team Flower is. Like that's our common shared goal, right? To mm-hmm. love the world through flowers, to help people to have that experience for the first time. And I think it's so fun that we can come together and that we can remember after we've come through some of these seasons where it's felt really hard and fearful and self-preserving, all for very real reasons, that we can come back to this place where we do all really have that common love and passion and desire to see that happen.
So it's
really
incredible. Cool. If you think about it, I've been fortunate enough to create hundreds, if not thousands, probably thousands of arrangements that have been sent out into the world for one reason or another. And I know what that feels like. I also, as a florist for 40 years, you know, we normally don't get flowers. People don't send us flowers because they think, well, you're around flowers all day.
You have a lot of flowers.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But on the occasion when somebody does send me flowers, I get to experience what that is like. And I'm telling you, it's remarkable. And I think getting the message out there, the real impact flowers have on people's lives. Great example is we've had a major tragedy happen in France with the burning of the beautiful Notre Dame. And I'm already seeing people go and place flowers. You know, that's something when there's tragedy, great tragedy and great triumph in our world, we celebrate, we express with flowers. People who may never, ever have flowers or touch flowers before will pick up flowers and feel like they need to present them in times of tragedy and great triumph. Mm-hmm. And to me, when we can share that and spread that and into the general public, we're doing our job.
They're kind of like smiles, right? It's like this universal language of that everybody understands. Yep. Yep. Flowers have, they do have their own language. And I don't mean just like the Victorian language of flowers, but it's a special thing. They just sort of hit right where you need them when you need them has been my experience just over and over, even from the time that I was just a little girl picking dandelions and making bouquets. Like it was one of my favorite things to do. I love that. That's so special. So for us as Team Flower here, I'm just wondering like how you would encourage us, the people who are listening here today and members and, you know, just anybody who's in the floral industry today, how would you encourage us as individuals? We'll just start there as individuals to influence the direction of the floral industry in a positive way.
Well, really it comes down to just being true to yourself. And I know there's a lot of amazing designers out there right now, just giving great messages about allowing yourself to kind of just let the wind take you, allow yourself to design for yourself, allow yourself to just enjoy the process. And all that is great. And I love that because that's where we get our creativity from. And that nurtures that side of us, which brought us into the industry. But I also feel there's a need for us to understand that we are a business. And if we want our artistry to flourish and we want our artistry to impact more lives, we have to be good business people.
Yeah.
We have to have that balance. You know, we live by the elements and principles of design when we create things, and yet we don't live by those same elements and principles of balance and harmony and you know, all those and focal points of all those things that we need in our business life as well. Mm-hmm. And I just would hope that when people enter into the industry, that they understand that, yes, there's that great part of it, that we get to work with these beautiful floral products and get to be creative. But we also have to keep in mind that we are a business and that we have to promote ourselves professionally and honestly and respectfully to each other and to our customers. So I think that's really my biggest message is we have to have that balance in our lives, professionally and personally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's really good. You right now, tell us about your role in the floral industry right now.
Right now, well, I am really blessed to be part of the team of Smithers Oasis. It's an amazing company for the industry. When I was more on the design bench side of the industry and working in events and even in publishing, you know, I had a great relationship with Smithers Oasis as a company because of their products that they produce really are just phenomenal and very innovative. But now that I'm on their team and getting to know more about their core values and their dedication to their customers, it's really quite remarkable. And I feel very blessed to be part of that team. I started actually with Smithers a year ago, just last month. So, and my role really is kind of like an ambassador or a retail specialist. So I'm the connection between our wholesale partners who supply the products to the retailers and the event designers and wedding designers. And there was never that bridge between the wholesaler and the end user. And I, because of my background as a designer and all that, I'm that bridge. I'm that person who helps the wholesaler connect with the retailer or the retailer connect with our products. So it's been kind of an exciting position to help structure as we go along, because it was a new position that the company developed a year ago. And I just feel very blessed to be the one that they selected to help them, you know, spread the love of Smithers Oasis around the floral industry.
You are the girl for the job. You really are. You're such a perfect person for that.
Oh, thank you.
I'll have to have you come back on and talk more about the different things that are happening at Oasis. We can touch on a couple of them now here today, but I think that Oasis is such an incredible company as well. Do you know what anniversary are they celebrating this year?
Well, they were actually established in 1954. So okay. Yeah, that's when they invented the Oasis floral foam.
Yeah, I read a little bit about the story of how how the foam came to be.
Yeah, really remarkable.
Do you want to share just a little bit of that story? Because I think it's a beautiful story. And I think that just that drive for innovation and the next thing is something that continues on at Oasis even now, like that legacy. So tell us a little bit about how floral foam got started and how it has evolved today.
Well, I'm not the best storyteller when it comes to that, but I can kind of give you the bullet points of it, you know, really. Vernon Smithers, actually, he had his own company, and quite honestly, I'm not really exactly sure how to explain what it was, but what he was producing kind of had to do with the tire industry, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And it's just, the story goes that his wife received flowers for a special occasion. And as he was looking at the arrangement, he came to realize that in those days, floral designers used chicken wire and different kinds of clay and moss, and kind of similar to what we're kind of going back to. You see a lot of designers using, but that was the only thing available. Right. And because of what his company at that time was producing, he was a very innovative man, a forward thinker, and he kind of just out of invention and curiosity thought, well, what if these florists had something they could design into that held water so that the flowers got water and helped them secure stem placement? Mm-hmm. Because that's what the chicken wire was doing. And so he got to work on it, and somehow through his genius and his people came up with this floral foam and was able to produce it. And the plant opened in 1954.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Arbor and Ceremony Online Class. In this comprehensive course, we'll cover all the essentials for ceremony designs, arbors, and large-scale arrangements. We'll talk garlands, entry arrangements, metal and fabric arbors, wreaths, and more. After this course, you'll be ready for all those large-scale requests a bride shoots your way. Together, we'll dive deep into mechanics and discover tried and true tricks to keep your blooms happy and hydrated and your arrangements steady and secure. We'll also share pricing and supplies on all the pieces we create so you're equipped to price your own designs profitably. Say goodbye to intimidation. Large scale is not such a big deal after all. With these tools and techniques in your tool bag, you'll be whipping up unique ceremony configurations in no time. Head over to teamflower.org/online to learn more.
That's awesome. So I love that floral foam can allow you to go places and do things in the design world that you may not be able to do, or maybe not be able to do as easily or conveniently without it. When I first started learning about flowers, people would talk about, oh, well, like don't use foam. And I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't really understand, other than people would say, oh, well, it's toxic or it doesn't break down, or, you know, some of these things about it. Right. But I was just wondering what is actually going on, because one day I got really interested and I went on, I went on the Oasis website and I read all about the sustainability stance, you know, all of these things, which really got me thinking that Oasis was really on this move to shift, to adjust, to make something that will be able to continue to provide this convenience for florists long, long into the future, also while considering the environment, all those kinds of things. It was very clear to me that that was something that was important to you guys. Tell me a little bit more about that and what is happening today.
Okay. Well, honestly, we know, I mean, when you think about when the foam was invented, you know, things were different. We didn't know what we know now. We didn't know. And so, you know, you take a process and you create something fantastic and you don't necessarily know all the long-term of anything. And, you know, that's true today. We do understand, we do realize as a company worldwide, globally, that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our customers and we have a responsibility to the earth. And, you know, we just really know that. And it's not a process. Creating a compostable foam sounds easy. And it sounds, and I know that there are people out there who are trying to do it themselves. And some people have had kind of success with it, but not real success. And it's expensive. Trying to get all those things, want to make a product that is usable, that is biodegradable or compostable, that is affordable, that, you know, real businesses. Yeah, I mean, that takes time. And I can say that we're in a position as a company that we understand what people are saying. We're hearing what they're saying. We know that it's a concern and we are doing everything we can in the timing that is humanly possible to address those. We're not sitting back saying, ha, 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 you know, we know that this is happening and that's happening and we don't care.
Super weird.
We have a great product. And people, we're not evil that way. We're not doing that. We're hearing the voices. We really are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just you as a global company, you have to be very careful in how you make statements and what you say and when you say it. And with the world and social media like it is, if you say one wrong thing, look out. So just, you know, if I can give one message is the original foam was not biodegradable. Our new version of the foam, the Max Life, it is 100% biodegradable within 567 days in a landfill. That's far better than the original is. And I can also say that Smithers Oasis has and produces and creates right here in the United States, the only biodegradable foam on the market. So if you're buying anything other than Oasis Max Life products, it is absolutely not biodegradable. So we heard that then, and we made the change that we were able to make, but now we're hearing people are really even more concerned than that. And they're expecting more from us as a company. And we're addressing that internally as fast as we can. Mm-hmm. And in a way that one is going to bring an actual product that serves the purposes and is affordable to our end users, which are the florists and the designers and the crafters around the world.
Yeah, I think that the information just is becoming more and more readily available more quickly. And it is with those types of products, like it takes a little bit of time to get things experimented and tested and over and tested again and tested again.
And approved. And you make it in production? You know, it's one thing to make something in a batch where you get, you know, say, for instance, you can make something that kind of works, serves a purpose, but you can only make it in batches of maybe 100 bricks at a time. And it's going to cost you $5 a brick. You can't do that. That's impossible. Mm-hmm. You can't sustain that as a company or as an industry. We know what the challenges are because we do our research, not only here in the United States, but at every location around the globe. We're really mindfully hearing the voices out there. Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, to everybody who's listening, we hear your voices. We know that it's something we need to look at. We are looking at. We have amazing scientists in our labs that are working diligently to try to find a solution. When that will happen, I don't know. But we hear you. We know it's out there. We know we need to answer the questions.
Mm-hmm. And we as florists really need to be cheering you on in that regard. I feel like it's really important. You know, you have a very difficult, a lot of obstacles, a lot of things to get through to be able to provide that. And we just, as Team Flora, want to say that we're standing behind you and cheering you on in your efforts to do that. And are just so grateful that spirit that you had of innovation is something that continues in your company even now. I feel like your company is a really important piece of our industry. And I just want to say thank you for everything just on behalf of Team Flower. You can pass that along because we really value all of the contributions that Oasis has made over the years to helping us get flowers into the hands of more people.
More often. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And thank you for that because it's good to know that we know that people attack and people jump to conclusions. And
sure.
And we're really, really about, you know, making this industry stronger. And we are a company of integrity and trust and respect. And so we appreciate you saying that. You know, we built the company on the foam, but if you think about all the other amazing products that mm-hmm. Oasis brings to the market, and they're all done in a way that make you more profitable, more creative, and more sustainable. A lot of our products and some of our ribbons that we carry, it's vegetable dyes, and we're using recycled spools, and we're always looking for containers that are compostable, and we use recycled glass. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do with all our other products. It's not just a foam issue. It's across our company. We are aware that we are responsible, and we have to do that. And we're trying our very best and still to be able to maintain products that are actually usable and affordable to the industry.
Tell us about that eco foam that was released over in, was it England that you're testing that, or?
Really what it is, it's just kind of the same version of our Max Life. They just
named it a different brand.
A different brand. And because, you know, different markets respond to different things, they felt that was going to be a little bit more, and they made it brown. You know, there's just different ways of marketing the same thing in different markets
so
globally.
I'm not missing out.
You're not missing out. No,
that's
thinking our Max
like,
Life.
Oh, I want the brown stuff. I want the brown stuff.
No, but you know, here's the thing. We have our new Midnight Foam, and I'm going to tell you.
Yes, I was just wanting
amazing.
To talk about it too.
Oh my gosh. I was so excited. I mean, I didn't think of it. I was kind of skeptical. I have to, I'm like, really? It's going to be different than the green? But let me tell you, when you put that into a design, it disappears completely when you're doing a mass design for event work and wedding work. And it's incredible. It really is. And we're excited about the response it's getting throughout the industry as more designers are getting their hands on it and using it. But yeah, honestly, to me, Midnight Foam is the way to go on anything.
We definitely need to get that at the Team Flower Conference next year.
Absolutely.
As hard as you try event work, specifically event work, and I'm sure even at a shop, although I don't have experience in that world, there are deadlines and you have to move quickly. Yeah. And you need to cover your mechanic, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes you miss something. And I just feel like that the Midnight Oasis is a really great, like, huh.
Yeah, it is. No, it absolutely is. It's one of those backup plans because you can design a little bit faster. But, you know, if you think about it too, you can purposely use less product. And that's what a lot of people are saying. You know, if you're designing with armatures, whether it's chicken wire or pre-made armature forms, they're saying, well, you'd use less product. Well, that's really, if you want that security that floral foam gives you, the Midnight Foam allows you to use fewer products because you don't have those gaping holes. You really don't see it. Or if you want to do something that you actually leave the foam exposed, it gives you that option too. If you're doing something a little bit more contemporary where it's not that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So it really, it frees it up to, so many different design options. It's really an amazing product. It's so much fun to work with.
Cool. I have to circle this will be my last question, but I have to circle back to armature because some people who are listening might not know what that is. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, an armature basically is a structure. It's either made out of, you know, branches or curly willow or wire. It's a structure that is made in the hand that the stems of the flowers are then inserted through to hold the form. So chicken wire is a form of an armature. Wire mesh is a form of an armature. Designers use the bamboo or they'll use curly willow and they'll bind it back around on itself and almost make like a little ball or an orb or, you know, certain different shapes of things. Really, an armature is a structure that is constructed to hold the flowers in place. So it kind of takes the place of the need of a foam or a taped grid over your vase. But it's a decorative way really to secure your flowers.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. It's just not a term and not a term that I hear in my world a whole lot. I know what it is, but I just thought, you know, maybe somebody doesn't know what that is. So let's chat about it for a second. Okay, cool. Well, Susie, thank you so much for being here, just for sharing your story and your dreams for the industry, as well as just all these inside floral foam things. I think that that's so interesting. And I'm really glad that we were able to hop on here and talk about it, because ever since the day that I got on there and read, you know, all about it, I just got really curious about it. And I was like, you know, someday I really want to talk about this and kind of get that conversation started, because it is an important piece and allows us to do a lot of different things. So I'd hate to see it go away for any reason. Yeah. Cool. Anything else before we wrap up here today? I will just hand the microphone back over to you, Susie. Anything you want to share before we sign off?
Gosh, I don't know. I just would encourage everybody to just really stick with it. Even in the hard times, stick with it. There's going to be some times that you're struggling. Maybe you're not, you know, the business isn't coming in like you want it to, or you're not getting the brides in through the, into your doors like you want to, or just, you know, stick with it. Really, it's a very rewarding career to be in. It's a rewarding industry. It's a small, tight-knit industry. You don't go into a group where you don't hear that we speak of each other as family more so than friends. And it just really, I just hope everybody has even half the journey I had, because it's been remarkable and blessed. And if there's anything I can do to help people along the way, I'm always available. That's really where my heart and my passion is now. I've stepped away from the design bench, and now I just want to share all the remarkable things that have been shared with me over 40 years. I'm kind of like the flower Yoda. So I'll sit on my lily pad and come ask me questions. But I just hope that everybody can, you know, even just explore, create, be you, and enjoy the process.
Really wise words. Thank you so much, Susie. And to all of you who are listening today, keep going. Keep loving the world through flowers. We appreciate you. And we are together making an impact on the floral industry. I say this, if maybe this is your first time listening in, but I really believe that the floral industry will be known across the earth and into other industries as some of the kindest people that walk on the face of this planet. And I believe that that happening in our industry is something that will spill into other places and into the whole world, so that we start, and it's there, it's totally there. The rumbling, it's coming. And I just believe the more we chat about it and talk about it, the more we're going to be able to see it unfold. And it's such a beautiful thing. So thank you for being here and for listening. And we will see you next time on the Team Flower Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode of the Team Flower Podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful.